Good morning, Kingdom Church. Can y'all hear me okay? Listen, I am so excited to be here this morning. And I hope you're excited to be here this morning. How many of you have been on during the fast this week? Raise your hand. You've been fasting something. How many of you are hungry this morning? Come on, somebody, right? How many of you are looking forward to lunch after church today? Even so, come quickly, Lord, right? Amen. Amen. Hey, I am so excited to be here today. A couple of things that we're going to talk about today. The reason I'm excited is because I believe that during the process of sharing God's Word this morning, that God is going to bring some enlightenment. He's going to bring some truth from His Word. And it's going to be such a word that it's not going to be heavy necessarily as much as it is going to be enlightful, and it's going to be enlightening. And so, you know, one of the things that I have found is that I love to minister after people have been fasting. And the purpose for that is that normally what fasting does is it clears our minds and it positions us not just mentally but physically to receive from God. And so this morning, what I believe is that the posture should be leaning into God's Word, right? Leaning into His presence, leaning into what your expectancy of Him should be. And I think that this week, one of the things that God has done is He's raised the expectancy level in our hearts and in our lives. And what I have found is that oftentimes, the depth of our repentance equals the height of our revival. And so today, I'm going to give a few, before we jump into the message this morning, I'm going to give a few, what do you call those? Addendums? What's the word I'm looking for? Just disclaimers. There you go. Okay. So in West Texas, so many of you know who we are, and we've been pastor almost a year and a half, 2 years? How long, Jackie, how long have we been? Year and a half. And I tell you what, when we first walked in, we just knew that this is where God wanted us to be. And I was telling Pastor, I think it was yesterday, that, you know, it's amazing that you can walk into a place and feel at home as much as we did. And not only that, but if you're a guest here today, I just want to say that if you are looking for a church home, you're not going to find a better one than this right here. And listen, our pastoral staff is just simply amazing. Chad is, not only can he sing, he can preach, and he's anointed all the way around. And Pastor Claire, man, I tell you what, if you want to hear some preaching now, this girl can preach, and all the way from our worship team, Pastor Nick, just wonderful people. And I'm sitting back thinking this week, God has positioned us as a church to move forward in a powerful way. He's aligned people for such a time as this, and I believe that that God and us should be expecting what He has for us in the future. Amen. So one of the things I want to tell you is that there's a West Texas term that I'm going to use, and if you don't know, I am from Texas, and that term is this, it's called treaching. Have you heard of that, treaching? So there today will probably be some of, it's not necessarily preaching and it's not necessarily teaching, but it's somewhere in between, come on somebody, and we call it treaching today, and so you're going to get a little bit. And the second thing, And I apologized even ahead of time to Chad, is I am not I can't just stay in one spot. So I'm liable to be on that side, this side, and down around the corner. And, you know, you never know where I'm going to be, right? So if you will, bear with me. Would you extend grace to me this morning? And in the middle of that, I believe that God is going to do some fantastic things. So I brought my glasses today and thinking and hoping that these make me look a little bit smarter. Do they do that? Please say yes. All right. During our time of ministry, one of the things that happened is We went through a process with a couple in the North Texas district called Dr. Wayne and Sherry Lee. And what they did is they took the time for about 3.5 to 4 years, and once a month, sometimes twice a month, we would go to the district office up there. It's so beautiful, a beautiful place up there. And literally for 3 days, Pastor, they would pour in. Thomas Trask came by, and they would just pour into us. But the topic was church life, right? And so one of the things that God really did for us during that time is he brought people in with such wisdom. And I gleaned from that. It was like sitting at the table of the master, and for 3 days, I'm talking about drinking from a fire hydrant, right? And so one of the things I learned in that process is that the delivery of the message determines the content of the message determines the style of the delivery, right? So for us that are teachers or preachers, so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to slow down just a little bit so that you can understand what I'm trying to articulate and say to you. Amen. Somebody shout yes. Amen. Amen. So in the time of teaching, there's a phrase that was taught to us, and I want to bring that to your attention today because I believe it will help us in setting up this message and moving forward. You know it's bad when I bring a computer. You don't know how many notes I've got on this thing. Oh, and it just kicked me out. Hang on, bear with me. Turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. Turn to your other neighbor and give him a high five. Thank God for technology. All right, somebody pray. See, that's the problem about having all of your notes on a computer. Okay, all right, we're good. Go with me this morning over to the book of John. I want you to at least think that I'm about to read my text. So during my time of biblical training, there's a phrase that I want to introduce to you that I learned, and that is this, that orthodoxy produces orthopraxy. And I want you to think about this, and it's going to sound really in-depth and really hard to understand, but really it's not. Okay, what that phrase means is that right doctrine is a prerequisite for right thinking. Okay, and so we could also say it this way, that you can't live a good life with bad information. Ultimately, the course and the quality of our lives is not just determined by the sincerity of our hearts, but also by the accuracy of the information that is in our heads. And so even the Old Testament prophet Hosea said, "My people die not for a lack of sincerity, but for a lack of knowledge." And so for that reason, that is why a church like Kingdom Church is so important, because we have an educational assignment. And I'm not suggesting that we are a school, but rather I'm suggesting that we have an educational assignment, because as people come into God's kingdom, listen, there's so many things that they're not being taught. And I want to say this with all humility, from 17 years of ministering and pastoring in different churches throughout the South. Somebody say y'all. We're going to work on that. Y'all, all right? One thing that I have found is that I feel like, Pastor, we have done a pretty good job in teaching the spiritual disciplines that come along with being a Christian, okay? So we've taught you how to pray. Come on, this morning as we came in, we just sensed the presence of God and everything He was doing. We know we're teaching you, we've taught you how to pray, we've taught you how to give. And we're going to continue to teach you how to give. We've taught you how to sow. We've taught you how to give above and beyond. We've taught you how to praise. Speaking of which, hasn't this team done a wonderful job of lifting up the name of Jesus? We've taught you how to serve, right? I look out through from the coffee bar to the kids and the ministries, and there's so many things, so many people doing so many jobs, and I know just having been in church here, I'm proud of them. I know your pastors and staff are extremely proud of them. And so there's been so much that we've taught, but one thing that I feel like we haven't taught, I don't feel like we've taught you how to suffer. And because of that, watch this. Over in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, I want to talk to you this morning about storms, thorns, and crosses. And I was sitting this morning as we were in worship, and I was thinking, man, isn't it so amazing when God confirms that you're on the right track? That's a good feeling. And so somebody shout storms. Okay. Over in the book of John, chapter 16, the Bible says, and I'll be reading out of the NIV version, this is Jesus talking, and I want to preface this, right? So, John chapter 16, verse 33. Now, this is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples, okay? And he's warning them of there's going to be grief, but at the end of the grief, there's going to be joy. Come on, somebody shout yes. And so over in the verse 33, Jesus is, I like to think that Jesus is probably sitting with his disciples. Maybe he's standing around in a group huddle, but he says this, I have told you these things. So he's just told them of all the difficult things. And now in verse 33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me, in him, you may have peace. Somebody shout peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This morning, if you would allow me, I want to just take a few minutes and I want to talk about storms. In fact, I'm going to have you go ahead and turn in your Bible with me over to the book of Mark. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4. So I want you to understand this, is that Jesus is, he's with his disciples again here in Mark chapter 4, and he's talking to them regarding ministry. And we're picking up in verse, where did it go? In 35. And I'm going to read it from our Bible, from the Bible, NIV version. Are you ready? Shout yes. Verse 35. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, watch this, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall, right? What is that's a storm. In West Texas term. That's a storm. There you go, right? And so a squall came up and the waves broke over the boat. This is a bad storm, right? So that it was necessary, that it was nearly swamped, and Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Oh, to have that kind of peace. The disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, you don't even care if we drown. Verse 39, come on. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Somebody shout calm. One of the reasons that I feel like today that is going to be insightful is that as I was praying this week, I really felt in my spirit, in my heart, that there are many of us, many of you, that have been dealing with difficult situations, okay? And I don't want to minimize what you may be going through this morning, but I have found typically that no matter what we go through, there's usually one of three categories in Scripture that Jesus likens our issues and problems to. The first one being a storm. And so I want to give you we've read the scripture. I want to give you the definition of a storm, and I'm going to read it first before we put it up on the screen. The definition of a storm, watch this. A storm is a temporary season, somebody shout temporary, a temporary season of inconvenience sent by the adversary because he knows that our impulsiveness to the storm will sabotage us when the storm itself cannot. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it a little bit different. So, what is the definition of a storm? A storm is a temporary season of inconvenience that the enemy uses to get us to act impulsively. To the storm. Because the enemy knows that our impulsive activity can sabotage us, can derail us, when the storm itself cannot. And so this is why, as we move forward, that one of the things that I have found is that storms oftentimes derail us and distract us from what God is calling us to do. And I believe that there are so many of us this morning that are dealing with one storm or another, and there's just issues in our lives. And sometimes, as Jesus said, listen, don't you wish, church, that once you got saved, that you didn't have to deal with some of the mess that you have to deal with? Wouldn't it be nice if once you got saved that God would say, listen, now you're exempt from everything? But I want to say this is what I have learned, not just in ministry, but in just living life, is that even though we may not be exempt from the fiery furnaces of life, I have learned that when you go through the furnace, that there is a God. And He lives, and He lives in us. And even though we go through the fires of life, and we may come out on the other side, oftentimes we don't even smell like the smoke that we just came through. Because there is a God in heaven who loves you and who has made a way for you and who wants to be with you and strengthen you and give you the substance that you need to not just live this life, but to thrive in this life. I want to say to you that the devil is not so much about you living. He is afraid of you thriving. And I have found that no matter the circumstance of life, that we can thrive throughout everything that we go through. Amen? And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we wake up in the mornings and it's just hard to get going. And you think the weight of what you're dealing with weighs on you so heavily that sometimes that weight is just, it causes us to just stand still sometimes and think about the heaviness. And one thing that I believe God is doing today, or is going to do starting today, is I believe that the weights that the enemy has put on us, they're just going to begin to fall off. Come on, there's going to be a level of freedom, not just because of the fasting and the prayer, but because where God's presence is, His liberty is, and God will set free the people that are tied and bound. Listen, no matter what the situation, I've got good news for you today, is that the enemy does not have the last word. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. So we've taught you how to do all these spiritual disciplines. I don't feel like we've taught you how to suffer. And because we haven't taught you how to suffer, I don't feel like that we've built within you the resilience that it's going to take to overcome some things in life, okay? And I just want to impart some wisdom that I have found that in dealing with troubles throughout my life, throughout ministry, is that not everything that you go through can you rebuke or pray away. That's hard to hear. It's hard to understand, right? But I want to say to you that oftentimes storms come, and if you look at this scripture, what you find is that the disciples are standing there, and this it's an imperative phrase that Jesus... Can I come? Is it okay if I step down here? He's like, I'm sorry, Chad. Sorry. There's no light for you. And in the process, the disciples are standing there, and they're probably talking. They've been doing ministry all day. They're tired. Jesus comes, and he does or declares what they call is an imperative statement. And that statement is, get in the boat and go to the other side. It's not a question. All right? And so Jesus is not strolling along and say, hey guys, you want to go with me, get in the boat, maybe go to the other side, enjoy the water, do some fishing, maybe eat sleep, whatever. No, it's like, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Is there anybody here today that would say, I've found myself in storms only after I have obeyed the voice of God? Can I say this to you, is that oftentimes I have found that God's preferences or my preferences don't line up with God's provision, and that sometimes I find myself in situations because I live for Him. And I want to say this to you, is that even as much as we find ourselves in difficult situations, that the same God knows what we are going through. And just like He shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, and just like the three Hebrew boys that He took care of in the furnace, there's provision for you to come through on the other side with a testimony then of what you've been through. And sometimes it's just good to hear that not only have I survived what I've been through, but somehow I have thrived through it. And even though I have faced hell on every side, even though I have faced defeat and destruction and what seems like would have been the end of me, somehow I have come through, and on the other side there's joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I know that when I get up in the morning, even though I face the storms of life, I have found that the storms of life ultimately make me sharper and I am better able to deal with the things coming my way. And so I can imagine the disciples, because they talk, right? We have to understand they were human. Can you believe that He is down there asleep? Can you believe that we're going through this and He's down there just resting? Can you believe that we're dealing with all the trouble? The water's coming in our boat. Listen, we didn't even necessarily want to be here. He told us to get in the boat. And there's so many caveats to this, as you see. But I truly believe that when we deal with what God has put us in, what was Jesus born into? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus was not born into a great time. He was not born into a great place. In fact, I believe that God knowingly put Him in part one of the roughest times, in the roughest place, so that He could be the change agent necessary to bring about the glory of God and to ultimately die for our sins. And I want to say this to you, is that sometimes God will put us in difficult situations with people, with governments, with whatever situation you're going through, because He knows that you can be the change agent of what you're in. And so oftentimes as we look back, we find that Jesus has a plan even when we don't think He does. I'm going to need to get 5 seconds back on the clock. Dad says, nope. You time out, right? So one of the things that happened is when we shifted from a creature-creation relationship to a father-son, father-daughter relationship, we not only gained the kingdom of heaven and all these benefits, but we also gained an enemy. And one of the things that we have to realize is that even though we go through storms, that the enemy sometimes it's the enemy that brings those storms, and sometimes it's our disobedience, right? And so there are things that we can do. And just like Jesus, we can learn that in the storm to stand up and to rebuke the wind and the rain. There are some things that we need to rebuke. There are some things that we need to literally take the substance that God has put in us as a spiritual authority and pray over a situation and rebuke the enemy. And I believe that God sees that and hears that. Amen? Amen. So we have a storm. What is a thorn? So first of all, I want to say that you can't manage a storm like you do a thorn. They're different. I can't manage a thorn like I do a cross. Give me just a minute here. See, I've been all this teaching and then I lost my place. Now, thorns are different from storms because storms are temporary, but thorns are indefinite, right? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. I keep forgetting that we posted up on the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. This is Paul. I love to read Paul, and he's dealing with what they call a thorn in the flesh, right? And this is about that. It says, even if I should choose to boast, this is Paul, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so not one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of this, surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, what is this? Watch, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. Now, let me say this, is that what a thorn is? A thorn is an inconvenience assigned by the adversary that is intended to aggravate us to the degree that we abandon our assignment. I'm going to say it again. A thorn is an inconvenience assigned to us by the adversary that is intended to aggravate us to the degree that we abandon our assignment. He wants you to get so tired of what you're dealing with that you can't take it anymore. The word in the text says buffet. One thing that I have found is that to buffet means it's not killing me, but it's getting on my everlasting nerve. My mama was from the South. If I called my mom right now and put it on speaker and y'all could hear her, you would say, what in the world is she saying, right? Because she is like, I mean, hey, y'all, all this stuff. And she's a grandma on top of it, right? So, and if she knows the grandbabies are on the phone, then she just, I mean, it's just, you can't even hardly understand her. And so, that's, if you're wondering, that's where I get it from. And so, one of the things that I found, though, is that in the process, that we deal with storms differently than we do thorns. And one of the things that we have to understand is that the enemy that we spoke of earlier wants nothing more than for you to abandon your assignment. Okay? And let me pause, right, and say this, is that oftentimes it's hard to hear from God when you already know what you want Him to say. I told you I'm preaching, okay? I'm not preaching today. It's hard to hear from God when you've already determined what you want Him to say. And we have to learn that in the process of being the church, okay, in the New Testament, it's a little bit of a bunny trail, not much. In the Old Testament, the Israelites found out you can't do church in Egypt like you did in the desert. Because one is about blood sacrifices and the other is about something else. And so, what we have to understand is that there are different seasons for churches and there's a different season for our church. And I believe that the season we're entering into now is a great season that God is not going to just add to the church, but He's going to multiply what He's done in the church. He's going to multiply not just what you see in people, but also in finances, and He's going to multiply what you see with things spiritually that are going to abound. And watch this. Sometimes that When we sit back as pastors and we think about what all God is doing, sometimes it's amazing to see where God brings people from, right? There's a timeline of where He brings you from. And so I just want to say that oftentimes in that process, you learn that God is truly who He said He is and will do what He says He will do. To Buffett, that's right. So let me give you an example. Can y'all see me okay if I sit down just for a minute? To Buffett. Isn't that annoying? To Buffett. So what Buffett means is it literally means it's not killing me, come on, but it's getting on my everlasting nerve. I can see y'all, some of you looking at me like, Ron, if he don't stop that. But it's constant. It's constant. So the term Buffett, there's no relief. So when I wake up in the morning, it's there, right? And it's not killing me, but it's bugging me. When I go to work, it's there. When I take a break, it's there. When I go to my mother-in-law's house, it's there. I'm just joking. When I'm dealing with life, it's there. When I come to church, it's there. It's there. Isn't that annoying? You're like, yeah, you better stop. And so what I want to tell you about thorns is that oftentimes the thorn, the purpose of it, is that it gets us to the point where we're just like, you know what, forget it. And some of you have important assignments. All of you have assignments that you're on that the Lord wants you to carry out in your life. And if you allow the thorn, see, the thorn is about your ministry. The storm is about your life. And there are some of us, I believe today, that we're so buffeted by whatever it is that's bothering us, and you can't pray it away. So three times he said, would you take this from me? Good Lord, would you just take this from me? And what does he say? No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because it's good for you. I want you to watch this. The enemy sent it. God allowed it. He likes it, so I'm keeping it. Watch this. The enemy sent it, the thorn. God likes it. I can't stand it. But the reason that He keeps it, the reason that we have this thorn in the flesh, the reason that we deal with the things in our lives are because there, I remember this specifically. One day, I sat down and I'm tired and I'm just. You ever complain to God? I know that y'all are more spiritual than me, but sometimes I give God an earful. And so I was sitting and I was complaining, right? And I said, you just need to take this from me. And it was a situation. It was a thing that I dealt with. And He said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I realized that because of the situation I was in, number one, I had never prayed more intently than I was praying because of the thorn. Number two, I realized that because of the situation I was in, not only was I praying more earnestly, I was open to give and receive. Not only was I open to give and receive, and I was praying more, but I was also serving more. So I want you to understand that even when we're dealing with the thorns of life, there's a reason that He doesn't just remove those. Because during the buffeting process, what brings out is there's something beautiful that comes out of a life that's been tried and tested and has withstood the test through Jesus and that comes out on the other side. And I believe that there are some of us here today that are dealing with storms. And I believe that there's some of us here today that are dealing with storms, with thorns. And then I also believe that there's some here today that are dealing with crosses. Let me define what a cross is, and we'll begin to wrap up. Go with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is one of the last scriptures I'll read to you. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this. This is Jesus. He says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.'" What is your cross? What is that? It's an inconvenience that you choose to endure because you value Christ's cause more than your convenience. Can I read that again? It's the inconvenience that you choose to endure because you value Christ's cause more than your inconvenience, or than your convenience. He says literally here, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. In other words, must abandon their preferences. In other words, must submit to my purpose and not their plan. How many of you understand that we can plan all we want to, but ultimately God has the last say? We found that out the hard way. And I believe that sometimes we have romanticized purpose so much to the degree that we always assume that God's purposes will match our preferences. And it's not true. You don't pick purpose, you discover it. And one of the things that we have to learn is that when we discover it, then we must submit to it. Because not everything that God has called us to are we excited about. One thing I believe today is that at the end of this fast, that God as we pray, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to sing a song, and I just want you to begin to worship with us during the song. Then I'm going to come back up. We're going to close it out today. But I want to end in a time with prayer because, listen, I truly know and believe that if you're here today and as jumbled as this message has been maybe in your heart and in your mind, that if you're going through a storm, if you're dealing with a thorn, or if you're dealing with a cross, that there's something that God can do and minister to you and help you work your way through the situations. See, a lot of times it's in understanding what we're in. Because if you don't understand what you're dealing with, you don't know how to deal with it. And I believe that God today is going to bring enlightenment for the purpose of, now I know what I'm dealing with, and now I know how to pray. Do I need to rebuke it? Like Jesus in the storm? Do I need to receive God's grace? Like Paul? Or do I just need to square my shoulders and carry that cross and understand that what I'm enduring for the purpose of the cross?